is beginning to rain, rain, rain to the voice of our Father. Sing, whosoever will come drink of this water. I promise to pour my spirit out on your sons and your daughters. If you're thirsty and dry, look up to the sky. It's beginning.
Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars, inviting you to worship with us today at Bible Home Church, coming to you from Austin, Texas. It is indeed a pleasure receiving letters from our friends out there in, I guess you could call it, Radio Land, as we worship here on Bible Home Church each week. I want to thank you for writing to us. It's always a pleasure to hear your comments, and we encourage you to write to us. We want to hear from you what you think, what you feel about our messages here, and tell us what's on your heart, and also your prayer needs. I promise you I will read each and every letter that comes in, and we will personally pray for you. So please, whatever your prayer needs are, They may seem just minor, but nothing is minor to God. And you're our friend and our fellow lover of Jesus Christ, and we want to hear from you. Would you please write to us and let us know your needs? We'd also like to hear from you if you've had a recent victory through Christ. You know, I think it's a good thing when you pray and God answers your prayers to acknowledge that. And one way to acknowledge it is to write to us here at Bible Home Church and say, hey, Brother Tex, I prayed for this, I prayed for that, and God gave me the victory. And that is an encouraging thing. Some of those I might just read over the air. And I wouldn't embarrass you, of course, but I'll keep, if you say, keep this personal between you and me, all right, I will. But if it's for release to the whole world, well, I might just broadcast it to the whole world. Why? Because we want to encourage other saints in Christ Jesus, because they need to know. And, you know, I think we ought to thank God. That's one of the things we've been talking about. Give thanks to God in all things, especially when He gives you victory through prayer. And many of us are having great victory. I know my own mother, she's been having a problem for a long time, but she actually had a heart attack. And she had this surgery where they go in and they have to break through the blocked artery with the little balloon-like thing, and then they leave a stent, which is a little metal, piece of metal in there, like a little tunnel to keep it open. And it was totally successful. And I believe it was because we were by her bedside before she went in, my sisters, my brothers, my precious wife Wanda. And we prayed for my mother, whose name, by the way, is Josephine. Josephine. And we prayed for her, and she believed. She had faith, and she was healed. You say, well, no, now, Tex, the doctors did that. Well, you know, something very interesting was the doctor came in, the surgeon, and he was telling my mother, this is very difficult operation. It wasn't like the normal angioplasty. He said that this one was blocked up in such a way, and they were going to have a hard time getting in there to it. I think he told my mother later, I forget the exact percentage, I'll have to ask Wanda again, but only about 20% of the patients was it successful. 20%. Well, my mother just smiled real big at the doctor, and she says, oh, I know it's going to be successful. You know, I believe in Jesus and what He can do, and I really believe in the power of prayer. And the doctor said, oh, you're a Christian and you're a believer. She says, yes, I am. And the doctor says, well, I am too. You know, my mother didn't even know that, but she was confessing to him, and he just brightened up and smiled. And I tell you, I think that prayer had wonders. And my mother said one of the assistants in the operating room said that when they broke through that obstruction, and it was just totally cut there. When they broke through, they said that the doctor announced that everybody in the operating room hollered out. Just like it was a, you know, big football game and they scored a touchdown. They were so happy because it was such a complicated procedure. The doctor, when he saw how bad it was, he actually had to call in another doctor, a specialist, and they held my mother in the operating room and had this other doctor who was a specialist in those kinds of obstructions had to come in and do the operation. So she had two surgeons working on her, and they certainly did bring her through that. So, yes, I believe that many times God will direct the doctor's hands, clear up their minds, and cause miraculous things to happen. You say, well, Tex, you're just very mystical. You believe in all those miracles and things. Well, yes, you are absolutely right. I do. I'm not going to apologize for it one bit. And that's why we want to hear from you. And, of course, if you're able to support this ministry with your love gifts, please do so, whatever amount, large or small, and just do it for the glory of God and just say a little prayer and say, Lord, let this money be used for the glory of your kingdom. And I know God will accept your prayer. Well, we're going to have another song here today. You know, a lot of people say, where does good Christian music come from? Well, I believe God gives the songs. And that is, in fact, the name of this tune. It's from the Gaither series of albums, and this one is called God Gave Me the Song. I'll be right back after this precious music. Pillars or legs, strength, support, stability, piers of strength, anchors of power. That's what we're talking about. And last week we covered the first one. And all of these, of course, are designed to help you succeed in life, as we say here at Bible Home Church, beyond your wildest dreams. Because I really understand the Bible to tell us that we cannot imagine with our puny little ways of thinking the marvelous wonders that God has already prepared for us. How do you receive these wonders? Well, you walk with Jesus. You follow in his steps, Peter says in the Bible. First, through faith. We talked about that last week. And today we're going to go on to a couple other pillars of strength and success. Second, we're going to look, for example, at the second pillar. We're looking at repentance. Repentance. Now, a lot of people don't like the word repent. Somebody sent me some material from a very well-known Bible prophecy teacher. He's on international television, and he's written a couple of books. And he was claiming that the King James, this guy, and he's so mistaken, I feel sorry for him, but yet he's poisoning the Church of the Living Christ. He says, this false teacher says that the King James translators messed up. They made a mistake when they put the word repentance in the Bible. He said that really should never have been in there. And it came from the Catholic word penance, to do penance, repentance. Well, the man sincerely doesn't know what he's talking about. But a good Webster's dictionary would have at least fixed the man's understanding on this, although he wouldn't have had this problem with confusion. He wouldn't have been double-minded like this false Bible teacher is, obviously, if he simply believed in the Word of God and had faith in Christ Jesus that He has given us a perfect Bible for today, the King James Bible. But there's no doubt that we are all told to repent and get you a good strong concordance, and you'll see how often that word comes up, to repent. Repent. There is no salvation, my friends, without repentance. What does it mean? First of all, it means to be truly sorrowful, to feel great pain and anguish. It means more than that. To repent means not only to be sorrowful and feel pain and anguish, to recognize your sin, but to repent means to turn away from it. Now, to give penance in the Catholic faith, you know, that's sort of like you go to see the priest and you say, "Father, I've sinned." And he says, "Okay, say 10 rosaries. Say 5 Hail Marys. Do this or that. Light a candle." Whatever is what they call penance. And after you've done that, then you're thought to have paid back for your sin. Well, that's not at all what we're talking about here. We're talking about a sorrowful, a very painful recognition and understanding and even hating what you have done in sinning. And then, that's just the first step, then you turn from that sin. And my friends, when you turn from sin, when you recognize it, when you're truly sorry, when it's so painful to you, you want to get it out of your life like it's a cancer, you turn from that sin, let me tell you, Jesus will put you on the road toward victory and forgiveness. In fact, He will forgive you. The Bible says, John said, that He's faithful to forgive you of your sins and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Friends, if you're not repentant, if you're not truly sorrowful, if you're not willing, and I mean motivated and dedicated to turning away from your sin, then God is not going to forgive you. Isn't that amazing? So here we have a real key to victory, to success in life. Because God will cleanse you. And let me tell you something, that when you prayed to God and asked for forgiveness and you really mean that, and you're truly sorrowful and repentant, you will know when God has cleansed that sin from your life. I want you to be very wary of one thing, though. The devil will throw his little poisonous darts at you, and he will say things to you, put little thoughts in your mind like, you know, God will never forgive you for that. That's too horrible a blemish. That's too horrible a stain. You'll never be forgiven for that. God can never cleanse you from that, you mean, evil, horrible sinner. I've had people write to me and they said, "Tex, I followed Satan. I was a Satanist. I took a blood oath to Satan. And they told me I can never be forgiven. Is this true?" Well, I write them back. Satan is a liar and he's still lying to you. Wouldn't he like people to believe that you cannot be forgiven? Nonsense. Of course you can be forgiven. You can't forgive yourself, but God can forgive you. And He will if you cry out in repentance to Him. Now, I want to make you aware of something. There's some people who you believe are repentant, but they're not at all. They just got caught in their sin. Some years ago, a woman came in for counseling and see Juan and I, and she said that she'd caught her husband in an adulterous situation. He was very ashamed about the whole thing, and he asked her for forgiveness. But then just 2 weeks later, she found him at it again, this time with a different woman. She said she didn't understand that. I suggested that the problem was he never was truly repentant. He never was sorrowful. He had not turned from this sin. He had not become victorious and received forgiveness because he wasn't truly repentant. He wasn't repentant at all. But he sure was sorry he got caught. And he determined that he wouldn't get caught again. She told me about all of the things that he had done to try to make sure he didn't get caught the second time. He didn't make the same mistakes, he thought. That wasn't repentance at all. There's a lot of people in prison today that are sure sorry they got caught. They say, I'm really remorseful. I'm really repentant. No, they're not at all. Most of them are just sorry they got caught. They're not repentant. They'd do it again if they got out. Or worse. Now, we can see true repentance in the case of David when Nathan, the prophet, pointed his finger at David and says, Thou art that man. You are this guilty party. David, struck with his sin, sorrowful, painful, in anguish, begged forgiveness from God, turned from his sin, and I believe he was cleansed of that sin. Now, there were consequences. There's always consequences of sin. But forgiveness is sure. Now, contrast King David with King Clinton, Bill Clinton. Right before he left office, I saw an interview he had in Esquire magazine, and he complained about those people who had harassed him and hounded him and impeached him, and he said, I'm not guilty of anything, and they need to ask me for forgiveness for what they tried to do to me. Now, I want you to understand that at one time, when Bill Clinton was facing impeachment, he had gotten caught with the Monica Lewinsky. He went to these pastors' meetings, and he said, I've sinned, I'm sorry, and I've got these Jesse Jackson and these other people, Tony Campolo, I mean, asking them to come be your spiritual counselors and help you keep from sin is like asking the devil to come lay in your bed with you and be your spiritual advisor. And that's what he did. And he appeared to be really very sorrowful. And after all, he periodically, you would see he and Chelsea, sometimes even Hillary, going into some church there in Washington, D.C. on the news. He'd always have a little Bible in his hand. And many Christians, oh, the man's truly sorry for what he's done. But then look what happened to him when he departed. He departed in a, you know, talk about a cloud of glory. Yeah, it was a cloud, all right. But it wasn't a cloud of glory. It was a haze, a purple haze of shame. But he didn't feel any shame for all the sins and acts and crimes that he had committed while he was in office. And suddenly, during his last days, he forgot the fact that he had said he was sorry, that he had sinned before. Suddenly, he gives an interview saying, what I did wasn't bad at all, really. It wasn't that bad. That's not my legacy. And I think people that were after me, trying to get me on those things, I think they should be ashamed, not me. They should ask my forgiveness. He was sorry at the time, evidently, that he got caught. A lot of little kids are like that. They do something wrong, and you catch them. They're not truly remorseful or repentant. They're just mighty sorry they got caught with their little hands in the cookie jar. And I think it's a responsibility of a parent to teach true repentance even to children. I'm not saying that you are God and they are your servant in that sense. But certainly God has put you in a position of authority so that they are to obey you. And of course, you are not to provoke them and to be foul and mean and cruel toward your kids. So you have a responsibility and they have a responsibility to be honest, to faithful, and to honor you as their mom or dad. Repentance. People don't like to preach it. Pastors hide from it. Of course, they don't even like the word sin anymore. There really is no sin. And if there is no sin, these preachers say, then there's no heresies. And if there's no heresies, then there's no heresies to report. And anybody who does is just very judgmental, cruel, and even evil. So I suppose that your pastor here, Tex Mars, is cruel, evil, to the world. But nevertheless, I'm going to still call for repentance. And that's what's needed in our world. If people really were sorrowful, felt great pain, for their crimes, for their sins, and if they turn from those sins, toward victory and forgiveness, and were cleansed by Jesus Christ. What a marvelous world this would be, my friends. Now let's go from repentance to a third pillar or leg of strength in being successful in life. And I think this is a really a key to any person. If you want to be successful, there's something you've got to do. You've got to take an active stand here. Let me tell you what it is. It's confessing Christ to the world. Confessing Christ to the world. It's not enough just to be a Christian. Or to say to your close little circle of Christian intimates, I am a Christian. I believe it's powerful. I think it's life-changing for you and those whom you meet out in the world, for you literally to confess Christ before the world. I've had a lot of people that say, you know, I really don't do that, Brother Tex, but I just live by example. I've even had many people, and they write all kind of books even along these lines. Really, it's wrong to preach and try to convert and proselytize people, they say. Better just to live a good exemplary life. Be a good person. Be a humanitarian. Be a religious person. A spiritual man or woman. And then people will want to know why you're spiritual, why you're religious, why you're so good. And then they'll find out that you're a Christian. You know what I think about those kinds of men and women who tell me those things or write that kind of drivel? I think they're just cowards. They really don't want to face the world. Let me tell you something about the world. The world is not Christian, you will find. And that's why even when a politician today says this is a Christian nation, they have a heap of trouble. Jewish groups go after them and try to bash them, and everybody's after them. And I mean, they're hated because they've confessed that they at least want to see this nation as a Christian nation. And if you confess Jesus, I remember Attorney General John Ashcroft went to Bob Jones University, and Senator Ted Kennedy blasted him, and Senator Leahy from New England, they blasted him before the Senate Judiciary Committee, and they said, we've got the evidence here, Senator Ashcroft. Why, you went up to that university and you gave a talk, and you said you believe in no king but King Jesus. Well, if you believe that Jesus should be king, you're not fit for political office. You see how the world thinks? The Democrats on that committee, the liberals, said, because you confess Jesus Christ to the world and you even call him king, you are not fit for political office. Now, it doesn't matter that the Constitution of the United States flat out prohibits any religious test for office. It says that in our Constitution. No religious test shall be required for an office. They were putting him through a religious test. Isn't it true that you confess Jesus and even call him king? How terrible of you. Don't you realize this is a multicultural, multi-religious society, America? Why, we have Buddha and Mohammed, and we have every kind of god and goddess under the earth. We have all kind of idols. We have every kind of god of people's imaginations. And for you to claim no king but Jesus, how dare you? You're unfit for this high office. That's the way the world thinks. And you know, so many people want to avoid. They want to shrink away from that kind of judgmentalism. You see, because if you confess Jesus, they call you judgmental. But who was really judgmental in that case? Wasn't it Kennedy and Leahy? They were so judgmental. They were saying, I'm judging you harshly, you man, because you believe in this Jesus. And by the way, if I can remember, I think Ted Kennedy claimed he's a Catholic. He probably even attends Mass on certain Saturdays or Sundays. And they have Mass now on both days, or either day of your choice. I would think that the Pope of Rome would probably excommunicate a man like that, wouldn't you? He votes for abortion to kill little babies. And then he tells somebody who's been nominated for Attorney General, you're not fit because you confess Jesus Christ as King of your life and even of the world. Here's what Matthew chapter 10, verses 32 and 33 says, it says, "Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven." Read Masonic books, and they pride themselves on being non-prejudiced, non-judgmental. They say, "We of the Masonic fraternity never mention Jesus in our lodges." That would cause religious dissension, and you know they're absolutely right. I believe if you go into a Masonic lodge and you preach Jesus, they'll probably throw you out on your ear. Because it is a contentious thing. Jesus actually said that he brought offense in the world. But he said, woe to those who find the gospel offensive. Did you know that salvation comes through confessing in Jesus? It says in Romans 10, verses 9 and 10, "If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved." Confess. What a way to success. Well, you've been listening to Bible Home Church. This is your pastor, Tex Mars. I pray you'll tune in next week as we continue this scriptural study of how to succeed in life beyond your wildest dreams. May God richly bless you until then.
If you're thirsty and dry, look to the sky. It's beginning to rain.
You've been listening to Pastor Tex Mars and Bible Home Church. Please join with us in worship next week as we continue to honor the remarkable Word of God.